This is News Talk Radio 1450 KFIZ. Good morning, all dear friends in Christ, and welcome to the First Presbyterian Church Radio Ministry. A portion of our service has been recorded just for you.
Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, for the sake of the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that you may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and self-discipline. Do not be ashamed, then, of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel, I was appointed a herald, an apostle, and a teacher. And for this reason, I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I have put my trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard until that day what I have entrusted to him. Hold to the standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me, in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us.
Luke writes, "The apostles said to the Lord, 'Increase our faith.' The Lord replied, 'If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, "Be uprooted and planted in the sea," and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, "Come here at once, take your place at the table"? Would you not rather say to him, "Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink. Later you may eat and drink"? Do you thank the slaves for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, "We are worthless slaves. We have only done what we ought to have done." May the Lord bless us and teach us through the gift of this word. Please join me in prayer. Teach us, Jesus. Teach us so that we can be wise. Enable us to grow in faith and in strength so that we might be able to reach out to all of the world, that the ripples of our words and our actions would bring peace and healing to everyone we meet. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. We've been discussing this series in creative arts and among some other circles in terms of how we wanted to focus upon what it means to be practically a Christian. How being a Christian affects the way we treat other people. And particularly one of the things that's been in the back of our minds as we were putting some of this together was that so often behaviors are attributed to Christ or used as and justified through religion, but are hurtful, destructive, and often meaningless. We wanted to contrast how many people behave with what Christ commands. The hard part is doing that without being a jerk. Because if you say, well, you know, look at these people, they are so judgmental, they're always criticizing other people, and they're always talking down about other people, it kind of looks a little hypocritical. Well, it is hypocritical, but it's the way it looks that really bothers us. Anyway, so the challenge becomes, how do we actually look at the passages, look at the scriptures, and look at practically what it is that God is calling us to do? And that's where the image of the ripples going out becomes a very important part of what we hope people will consider and think about over the course of the next weeks as we focus on these passages of Scripture and these instructions from God. Because the manner in which we act has an impact that goes far beyond what we imagine or consider. The words that we speak, the manner in which we speak them, the way in which we influence the lives adjacent to us, influences the lives that go out so far and in so many ways. And as we are talking about being Christian, we are talking about serving Christ rather than serving our own ego. We are serving Christ rather than engaging in hurtful and immature behavior. We're going to focus on serving Christ rather than allowing our fear, our anxiousness, our need to pump ourselves up to dominate our lives. We're going to put Christ first. To do that, as I said, takes some work. Now, the first place that we're talking about is very often in family relationships and in multiple situations. We run into those individuals, often in our family, who want to benefit you by criticizing the ways in which you live. Every family seems to have one family member who is the religious one, who often is the one who is able to point out to you in multiple ways all of the ways that you're wrong. Am I the only one who's got one of those in the family? Oh, good. Now there's a little bit of response. The thing which is very awkward about that is that we so frequently have this religious element attached to it, this sense of superiority, and even the quoting of specific scriptures, the identification of different traditions or teachings, these ways in which these religions are at these words are attached to religion, becomes in many ways a double problem. On the one hand, we feel attacked, and on the other hand, we're not sure if we're attacked by this person or attacked by God. And one of the things that we want to focus on is a lot of the source of that type of behavior, a lot of the cause, does not come from Scripture, and it does not come from God's teachings. It comes from that individual's low sense of self, that individual's need to pump themselves up. And again, as I said at the outset, the challenge is we don't want to be judgmental, but we want to recognize that this is a liability that people can easily fall into, that very frequently individuals easily fall into the trap of looking outward critically in order that they can avoid having to deal inwardly with places that need to be healed, renewed, and transformed. Very often, the conflicts, the challenges, the turmoil, and all of the issues that surround a person actually begin from within them. And that with courage and with participation with Christ, those things can be transformed. So we begin with this element of affirming that it's Christ's desire that we be in healthy, loving relationships. And more than that, that the way in which loving relationships work is to bring healing and transformation to the people who are near us. Judgment, attack, hostility, all of those things are signs of a need for healing, not tools for influencing another individual. And what's extremely important in all of that is that with love And with a commitment to God's peace, we are able to have the stability and strength to be able to reach out in love without compromising ourselves, without giving up our identity, without allowing ourselves to be warped by the issues, the pain, and the conflict. The Apostle Paul, when he was writing to Timothy in this second letter to him, was particularly focusing on Timothy's issue with some extremely caustic individuals with whom Timothy was dealing. And the part that's fascinating, as Carol shared with you about the scripture reading, Paul was writing from prison to Timothy, who he refers to as his young child. Timothy's in his 30s at this point. And so that's right, folks. As you're growing up, doesn't matter how old you are, you're still somebody's little baby. But anyway, Timothy, who is young enough to still be learning and under Paul's supervision, but old enough that he should have some respect from the people to whom he is discipling and trying to lead, is attempting to lead the church in Ephesus, where Paul spent the major part of his ministry. And so it's among people that Paul is very familiar. And so Paul's beginning this letter, and what's interesting is he begins with Timothy saying you need to draw from the strength of the healthy relationships that you had in your family. And the healthy relationships that Paul especially remarks to Timothy, because he knows Timothy well, are his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice, who were both extremely strong, faithful people. And this is the thing about what God's intention is for us in our family. We're intended to be in family relationships that give us a foundation of faith, a strength of understanding, a sense of confidence in who we are. Healthy family relationships teach us that we are the redeemed of God, that we are the blessed people. And what Paul goes on to say to Timothy is this foundation, this strength that he has from his family, is to be the source for him of courage, that God did not give a spirit of cowardice, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. This is a courage in power, love, and self-discipline to be able to address the challenges and the issues that Timothy's experiencing in relationship. And this courage is the opposite of what we so often draw our power from. Very frequently, those who use that criticism, that hostility, that poking at other individuals are doing this for a cheap sense of self, for a little bit of a boost in their self of importance and their position. But it's like a sugar high or any other addiction. If you're using outward criticism and externalizing your anger in order to make yourself feel better about yourself, it's going to come back to you in the same way that the ripples that go out also come back. As they come back to us, they come back in the form of lower sense of self, of greater sense of guilt, of a deeper sense of there being an emptiness. And so what do? Well, if we're still in this cycle of trying to pump ourselves back up, we end up finding other places and other people that we can dump on and externalize that much more hostility and that much more negativity. And so, and the Apostle Paul talks about this in Galatians, that it becomes like a scavenger dog searching for something, some little morsel to nibble up in order to feel good about. That in this type of a cycle of being caught up in this self-serving hostility, we end up becoming just consumed by it. And it just gets bigger and bigger. The contrast to this requires courage, a lot of it. It requires the courage, which is the power that the Apostle Paul was talking to Timothy about, of a confidence of who Christ made us to be, coupled with the self-discipline to examine ourselves, and out of that to then act and speak out of the strength of the gospel. We have to do some work. So in other times, when we are in a conflicted relationship, when we're dealing with that family member who is so angry or so negative or so hostile, instead of reacting and drawing from that quick sense of self-support, we draw instead from the courage that comes from our foundation in Christ. And if you're going to get to that foundation, you're going to have to spend some time getting your footing right on that foundation. Far too frequently, those conflicted situations, those hostile relationships, those difficult people are ones that we avoid. At least I do. I'm sure you do too. And we don't want to think about them. We don't want to think about that relationship. And so we try and dwell on other things. We try and move away from it. But that avoidance behavior is the very opposite of what enables us to be strong, particularly in family relationships. That sense of trying to put it off, to not think about it, to evade, puts us in a position in which we're constantly reacting to the things that are coming our way. Courage means that we think about it not in a rehashing that conversation so as to put them down or considering all of our hostility, but to prayerfully ask, what is it that I need to learn or to do in order to be healthy and strong in this relationship? Where do I need to grow in order that I can be able to move forward? What do I need to know so that I can speak with love? And that's not something that happens just in a simple, offhanded manner. It takes prayer time. It takes thought time. It takes some sort of a discipline or a practice, be it journaling, be it a thoughtful conversation with a friend, not just dumping to somebody else how we're upset, or other ways of trying to support that which is strongest, that is our foundation of faith so that we can speak with love. Because when we speak with love, we are able to bring healing and an invitation to caring into the relationship. Out of courage comes strength. Out of that strength, which takes time to connect to, comes intelligence, thoughtfulness, and love. By the way, just as a side thing, often the most loving thing that we end up saying is no. The most compassionate and caring thing we say is not again. To put limits, to put boundaries. But if you're saying no out of reactivity, out of fear, out of anxiousness, it isn't easy to hold on to and it doesn't remain stable. When it's said out of a courage that is filled with love and compassion and has that foundation of Christ's love under it, no can be a gift. And it's the gift that so frequently needs to be given in family relationships. Yes, I know you want to have me help you in this way, but no, I'm not going to do that again. We'll do this instead. So courage is the foundation gift that we draw from healthy family relationships and that we can then pour back into healthy family relationships. And this is where faith becomes active. Part of what's really important about this mustard seed teaching that Jesus gives that we frequently don't understand is that when faith is sitting on the couch, it's tiny. When faith is self-absorbed, it's almost non-existent. When faith is just dealing with its own issues, it's not going anywhere. There isn't much of it. But when faith becomes active, particularly active with the foundation of knowledge, it accomplishes great things. A little tiny bit of faith can push around a great deal of trouble. Faith requires movement. And it's when we have that courage and that foundation placed in the right perspective that it can push forward, that even the tiniest amount of faith can enable us to accomplish the greatest of things. What becomes really significant about that is we don't become obsessed or focused on the things that we are doing or even justified by those things. Quite the opposite. We recognize that all that we are doing, all of the opportunities to serve, all of the ways that we're using our gifts are a great blessing of a relationship with God that we took the invitation. So instead of becoming pumped up or self-absorbed with the work that we do, we become joyful that we have the opportunity to do it. And that's what that parable that Jesus gave about the servants really is focused upon. Our self-esteem doesn't come from justification by the work that we do. Our self-esteem comes from this foundation of God's love and this courage, which is the sum of that power, that strength, and that self-assurance of the knowledge of Christ. As Christians, particularly with our family, we're called to be the adults in the room, to be the ones who do not engage and participate in the self-serving hostility, in the empty conflict, in the meaningless diversions that are intended to be that white sugar rush of self-support and self-esteem. Instead, we prayerfully, thoughtfully draw from the strength of those healthy relationships that we've had and use them to become the foundation of courage and strength, of discipline and power to be able to speak in love, to send out those signals, those ripples, those signs of peace that will not return empty, but instead will be the power to heal the lives that are around us. Christians speak the truth in love to those who are closest to us. And that's an affirmation that we can hold dear to us and celebrate. And it is the great gift of coming to the table this day that that strength, that self-discipline, that power, that courage is always nourished by God's own hand through Christ Jesus, our Son, His Son. So let's draw from that together. Please join me in prayer. Jesus, our Lord, we ask that you would enable us to find this strength, to know this power, to act in your will, and in that courage and in that self-discipline and in that power, we would be able to speak your truth in love and accomplish your great work. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.
This has been the First Presbyterian Church radio ministry on Sunday morning. We invite you to listen each Sunday and to visit our church located at 1225 4th Street Road. Two Sunday morning opportunities to worship are being offered, one at 8 a.m. and one at 10:30 a.m. Sunday school for children and adults begins at 9:15 a.m. Thank you for listening. This is News Talk Radio 1450 KFIZ.